Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Now we continue our community well-being series, West Farms 10460. For the past few weeks, as many of you know, we've been talking about issues relevant to this one specific community in the Bronx in order to tell the broader story of the coronavirus pandemic's toll on the city as a whole and to reflect on the reasons why poor, predominantly Black and Latino neighborhoods like West Farms have borne the brunt of it, as well as to highlight ongoing issues in the poorest congressional district in America. Why does it keep that designation decade after decade? Something's not being done. So far in this series, we've spoken about how rates of unemployment and eviction during the pandemic are higher in the area, and we've spoken about the worrisome community health profile of the district. Today, we'll speak briefly to three candidates for City Council District 15, which includes a section of West Farms. These will be three short interviews, just a few questions for each of these three candidates now, back to back to back. There is a special election underway. Election day itself is March 23rd. The early voting period begins March 13th, and this is happening because Councilmember Richie Torres just got elected to Congress. So we'll hear from Oswald Feliz and Kenny Augusto, but first we'll go to Elisa Crespo, education liaison for the office of the Bronx Borough President and one of 12 candidates for that vacant city council seat in District 15. By a little way of background, in an interview with a local news site, City and State, Crespo spoke about how progressive policies might benefit the district and the borough. She says she was inspired by people like Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, fellow Bronxite. If elected next month, Elisa Crespo would also be the first openly transgender elected official in New York City or New York State. And she joins me now briefly. Welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on with us.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me. And thank you for talking about this issue in West Farms.
And because our region, our audience is region-wide, tell everybody else, what do you love about your home neighborhood, and what do you see as its greatest needs that City Council can help with?
You know, I ran for office because I believe in the power of public service and how it can really transform people's lives for the better. And that's my number one goal and mission, is to improve people's quality of life. The City Council has enormous power in our budgetary process, negotiating the budget, deciding how we use land use, and creating legislation that can be meaningful and intentional about uplifting people out of poverty. And so my name, as you mentioned, is Elisa Crespo, and I'm a native New Yorker. I've been here all my life, and I'm really excited to be here. And I'm ready to get to work and fight for Bronxites. Bronxites are some of the best organizers I've ever met. They're some of the most resilient people. And the Bronx is no longer burning, but our passion is what's burning these days.
We've been talking about parts of the Bronx as the poorest congressional district in America since I can remember. Why do you think it's such a persistent state of affairs?
I mean, I think so much of it is related to racially concentrated poverty, you know, just historical redlining, a lack of investment, a steady a history of disinvestment in public services, particularly our schools. I think all of that attributes to it. But I think that, you know, the pandemic has exacerbated poverty. It's disrupted careers and opportunities, and it's forced many people out of work here in the Bronx.
In the interview that you did with the publication City and State that I mentioned, you said that a core part of your platform calls for a public option for employment. What would that look like in District 15?
Well, a public option for employment means simply that our city is going to have a job for everyone who's ready, willing, and able to work when the private sector is not fulfilling our city's economic needs. We absolutely have to focus on public-private partnerships and helping small businesses thrive and recover from this pandemic, because we know that they employ half of our community members. But I think in this time in which we're living in, we have to be innovative. We have to be bold in order to combat low wages and reduce working hours. And so the public option for employment is a municipal jobs program that would be for targeted vulnerable populations and create pipelines for these people who've been historically marginalized into city service jobs. So it can be anything from a clerk to a parks ranger. And we want to work with folks in labor to figure out what the program looks like. But we absolutely know that this is something that we're going to have to look into if we want to tackle unemployment. And, you know, there are major cities across the country that have done this. And overall, I think people, you know, this people in the Bronx, they deserve a contract that's going to guarantee them not just a home, but also a living wage. And people deserve the right to also work in union employment. And we know that municipal jobs come with the power of organized labor, that come with healthcare benefits and retirement pensions. And for me, that is how we move people away from generational poverty towards generational wealth. I also think it's very important that we focus on youth in the Bronx. The Disconnected Youth Task Force put out a very troubling report that stated 25% of Bronx youth are out of work and out of school. And so we've got to create universal year-round youth employment programs. We've got to be very intentional about using online job trainings and workforce development programs. And we also have to figure out how do we create a green workforce for the next generation of environmentally friendly infrastructure projects that our city will have to take on.
All right. Last question for you before we go on to the next candidate. Are you endorsing in the mayoral race? Are you aligned with anybody?
I am going to announce an endorsement of my first choice ranking, yes, very soon.
Alisa Crespo, thank you very much. She's education liaison for the Office of the Bronx Borough President and a candidate for City Council in District 15. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you, Brian.
And we're talking briefly to three candidates in this special election for City Council. That includes parts of the West Farms neighborhood that we're focusing on in our community well-being series, West Farms 10460. Now let's briefly bring on another candidate, Oswald Feliz, a tenant lawyer and adjunct professor at Hostos Community College in the Bronx. He says growing up in the borough taught him that opportunity can be severely limited based on the neighborhood that you live in. So, Mr. Feliz, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brian, for having me.
Same first question that I asked the previous guest. What do you love about your home neighborhood, and what do you see as its greatest needs that City Council can help with?
Yeah, so I love the diversity of the Bronx and of Council District 15. I grew up and I live on Fordham Road, and you could literally walk through any neighborhood and you will hear different languages, you'll see different cultures, different food. I love the diversity. I love how different every single neighborhood is. And I think that contributes to, that makes our borough and our city very vibrant. The Bronx faces a lot of challenges. One of them is unemployment. Another one is intergenerational poverty. And the third one is the pandemic, which has worsened many of the problems that had already existed. And on the unemployment issue, the pandemic is unprecedented. The coronavirus pandemic is unprecedented. From one day to the next, businesses were shut down, and that worsened the economic insecurity that we already had in the Bronx. So we should be doing more to help our small businesses get back on their feet. Many of them are owned by local residents. They also hire local residents as well. So we should be doing more to help our small businesses to help so that we could help resolve the unemployment problem in the borough. Another issue that we have is...
Go ahead.
Yeah, second issue is intergenerational poverty, which is created by the lack of opportunity in our neighborhoods. We have to ensure that our schools are preparing our students for the future. We have to make sure that the schools, especially those that serve disadvantaged students, have more resources, including more teachers and also smaller classes, so that struggling students can get additional attention, the attention that they deserve, and also paid internship programs to prepare students for the future.
So smaller class size is your number one education policy? If that's right, what else would you put on that list? We've seen education policy bat back and forth between the Bloomberg approach and the de Blasio approach. Maybe some progress has been made, but there's still so many problems.
Many problems. There was a recent study conducted that basically said that New York State has one of the worst inequitably funded public school systems in the country. So basically the state spends the same on a student, regardless of whether that student is struggling or gifted. We have to make sure that struggling students get additional resources. I will fight, if I'm elected to the city council, I'll fight so that schools that serve struggling students get 30% additional funding per student, so that these students could get additional resources. Again, smaller class sizes. I mean, just imagine being a teacher and having 30 students in a class, and an overwhelming percentage of them are struggling. They all have questions, 30 hands up at the same time. It'll be very difficult for that teacher to answer all the questions and at the same time move on with the curriculum. So we need smaller classes so that each student could get the attention they need and the attention that they deserve.
I see that before the pandemic, you worked at Bronx Legal Services as a tenant lawyer. How did that experience shape your understanding of the specific housing needs of the district that you're hoping to serve?
Yeah, as a tenant lawyer, I fought against so many Bronx landlords. The landlords who would take literally every advantage of every single loophole to deregulate apartments. Affordable housing is a major problem, and I think working as a lawyer prepared me to properly understand the root of the lack of affordable housing in the Bronx. One big issue is that landlords are building new affordable housing units, and they negotiate contracts with the city where the city would give the landlords benefits, and in exchange, the landlord would agree to provide affordable housing for, let's say, 5 or 10 years. That is simply putting a Band-Aid on the problem, and we don't need a Band-Aid. We need affordable housing that is permanent, not just for 5 or 10 years. Otherwise, in 5 or 10 years, we're going to continue to have the same issue of lack of affordability. So if I'm elected, I will fight so that new buildings that are being constructed, they allocate at least 20 to 30% of the units towards affordable housing, but also affordable housing that is permanently affordable, not just affordable for 5 or 10 years. Bronx sites are here to stay. They're not here for simply for 5 or 10 years. We have to make sure that our affordable housing is therefore permanently affordable so that they could have that opportunity.
And finally, are you endorsing in the mayoral race? Are you aligned with anybody?
Yeah, I'm still debating. There are many good candidates, including Eric Adams, including Scott Stringer, and a few others. Still debating who I'll endorse. I still haven't made that decision yet.
All right. Oswald Feliz, former tenant lawyer at Bronx Legal Services, now running for that open city council seat in District 15 in the Bronx. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much, Brian, for having me.
And if you're just joining us, we're talking briefly to three candidates in the special election for city council that includes parts of the West Farms neighborhood that we're focusing on in our community well-being series, West Farms 10460. One more brief interview in this set. The last candidate we'll speak to today is Kenny Augusto. He's district director to New York State Senator Jamal Bailey, and he's worked as a staffer in the New York State Legislature for the greater part of 2 decades. Kenny Augusto, welcome to WNYC.
Brian, I'm honored and big-time fan and often caller. I love you.
Glad you're on. And what do you love about your home neighborhood, and what do you see it as its greatest needs that City Council can help with? Same question I asked the other two guests.
Well, Brian, I was born in the district in the Beaumont section. It is from the decade of the fire when we the building to the left and to the building to the right of me were burning, to the times where we people in government were divesting. The federal government told us to drop dead. They said, you know, benign neglect. It has led to a decade of crumbling infrastructure and houses. And the South Bronx got rebuilt, but the North Bronx really wasn't rebuilt. And the problem I have, there's good actors, developers. There are good actors in builders, but there are bad actors and bad landlords. We have buildings that are 5 years old, they're brand new, and they're having heat and hot water issues. They have other problems. And these are the things that we have to do. You know, I'm not here to castigate landlords, but I know that the Bronx is a place that we need to grow into. We don't want it to be gentrified and then we're priced out of our own apartments. We pay already a lot of rent to the apartments. Affordability is a myth. So I wanna focus on keeping people in their house so they can age in place, that if you get older and you become a person with disabilities, that you can easily access your bathroom, that you can access your home, that you don't have to leave because you can't get up the stairs. So these are things that I'm interested in doing in terms of our housing, but we really need to expand our rights to counsel. That's what we've been doing in the state and legislature. We've done it to most of the district, but we want to expand it to the whole city. This is a crisis right now, and the moratoriums were good on a federal and on a local and state level. But the problem, Brian, is once those moratoriums end, what is going to happen? We need rental assistance.
Did we just lose your line, or do we have you? We're going to get him back up, and I'm going to ask him when we do about what's the city's responsibility and what's the state's responsibility. He's got an interesting background in this respect because he's running for the open city council seat in the Bronx, the special election March 23rd, with early voting beginning March 13th, but he's worked for a long time in the New York State Legislature at the state level as a staffer. I think we have you back, do we?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened.
Nope, it could have been on our end.
I was just saying that the moratorium is okay, but right now at the end of the process, people are gonna have to pay those rents back. So we want rent assistance on all levels of government. We want also mortgage forgiveness on for those mom and pop small landlords, responsible landlords. We want to make sure that they can do it. And I like the speaker's plan for commercial rent regulation. I heard you on your show many times. You had Speaker Johnson on and you spoke about that. And I'm very interested in doing that because our mom and pop businesses, mostly immigrant run. I have Dominican, Puerto Rican, Black, Bengali, Yemeni. We have probably the largest Yemeni population in our district in West Farms and neighboring Van Ness. And they were the front lines providing food, fresh food, and in their bodegas. We need to help them. A lot of the big stores get the PPP. We don't have that. I wanna create incubator programs. I wanna get small business startups, micro loans, all these things that we can do. We have an incubator in neighboring Lehman College, a CUNY school. We want that expanded to all parts of the district. I have Monroe. I have other places that we can put it to good use. Immigrants make money to survive. They're not eligible for SNAP. They're not eligible for welfare or one-shot deals. They're not eligible for anything. So, you know, we've been working with immigrants, asylum seekers. We've been working with people going through things. Other things that we do at our state level in my 20 years and my 30 years of community activism is solving problems, getting people together on solving the problem. So this is where we are. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. And since you've done 30 years of activism, let me ask you the same long-term question that we address with the other two guests, because we've been talking about these parts of the Bronx as the poorest congressional district in America since I can remember. I'm sure since you can remember. Why do you think it's such a persistent state?
I believe, and having lived in the poorest congressional district for the better part of my youth, and in the neighboring I live in AOC's district now, we have gone through everything back. You know, we've been through everything that you can imagine. You know, everyone's saying only now they're saying that there's a problem because of the COVID situation, but it's compounded poverty and hunger and desperation. We're the poorest. Statistically, we are the poorest congressional district in the nation. We are the poorest county in the state. And out of 51 members, I'm tied with Vanessa Gibson's district for the poorest. So no one legislator can do anything, but we getting together, working with our partners, our community partners. This has to be a people-centered approach. You know, we have community-based organizations like Tomas Ramos and Bronx Rising. We've been talking about what are we going to do about the COVID. People can't go to Yankee Stadium. We have people with disabilities that can't get to any neighboring place, even to the senior center down the block, because their elevators are broken, like in the NYCHA Monterey houses, persistently broken. Things are happening. There's a disinvestment in our federal housing. We don't want to happen what happened in Chicago and the Cabrini Greens, where they just tore it down. I know we're having developers invest in the RAD program and community reinvestment, and we want to see that happening. But the way we solve the problem is by diversification, getting these community-based organizations online, getting those shots in the arms for people in COVID, getting really affordable housing, going after the bad-acting developers and the bad-acting landlords, putting teeth to HPD, because many times the inspectors for heat or inspectors for businesses or inspectors for anything for the DOB, they'll give a heads-up call to the landlords, so put the heat back on and nothing's a problem, and we're back in the rat hole. In the rabbit hole. So these are the things that I'm passionate about. I grew up here. I was raised here. You know, I want to die here. I want to make sure that we're healthy, that we get in. So it's the intersectionality is so huge, Brian, of health, of healthcare and homelessness. You know, we have a lot of homeless shelters, but not a lot of truly affordable apartments. Mm-hmm. We can't get them into, I don't want warehousing here. We had a big debate yesterday where we were speaking with the Northwest Clergy Coalition. They were talking about their Bronx plan. I prescribe to a lot of it. I'm not going to say one word answers of this and that, but I'm going to tell you that a lot of what people want is people-centered. They don't want someone to represent them and forget about them. That's why I'm not accepting developer dollars of any kind. I'm not accepting corporate landlord dollars. I'm asking people for $1 and $10 to www.kenyagosto.com.
And they, we're just about out of time. Let me ask you this.
Can press the red button to donate.
Just to give you the same equal time that the other candidates had, we have to wrap it up. But what's your thinking on the mayoral race? I asked the other two candidates if they are endorsing anybody yet as kind of a point of reference to how to think about yourself. Are you endorsing yet in the mayoral race?
Well, I can tell you right now, I've already made my decision for borough president. That's Vanessa Gibson, because she's done the work and she has experience and she's an activist and she's a there. But for mayor, I really got to think about it. I have a great relationship with Scott Stringer way back to when he was assemblyman before he was Bronx, Manhattan borough president. I know Eric Adams pretty well. I'm interested in what Morales is saying. I'm interested in what Yang's saying. I'm interested in what Wiley is saying. But I really want someone that's going to work, you know. So I know Scott's been doing a great job. And I know in terms of health, Eric Adams has been doing a good job in terms of health, because I have those comorbidities. I went through COVID. I survived. I was supposed to be that 95% high blood pressure diabetes person that once almost weighed 400, now weighs in the low 300s, top 200s. I still got 100 pounds to go, but I'm going to listen very carefully to who's going to run and who am I going to partner with, because in this special election, all of these great candidates that we have, and they're great caliber candidates, we need someone to hit the job on day one.
All right.
And we're going to take over for Congressman Torres's election. So these are the things that we're interested in. I'm sorry, I'm trying to squeeze everything in a couple of seconds, but Brian, I think that's important. And I listen to your show and I listen to a lot of shows every day because I want to be informed about it. And this is what makes my thinking.
And I appreciate it a lot. Kenny Augusto, District Director to New York State Senator Jamal Bailey and a candidate for City Council in District 15. Thanks so much for being here.
Man, we love you.
And thank you very much. And thanks again to Alyssa Crespo and Oswald Feliz for joining us earlier in this segment. Three candidates in the special city council election in the Bronx. Again, the voting begins early on March 13th, leading up to Election Day itself on March, I think I said 23rd, it's March 21st. And next week, more candidates for the city council seat as we continue our series, Community Wellbeing Series for 2021, West Farms 10460.